As opposed to the retrograde that we've been complaining about for the past couple of years.
Yeah, it looks like it's going backwards. And people have a misunderstanding, and potentially like a patriarchal misunderstanding. Because
of the retrograde?
Mm-hmm,
because everyone has been complaining about it, you know, and that's their excuse for things.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was a bitch. Mercury is retrograde.
For
everybody. You're a bitch.
For every.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Of course.
Of course.
That's your bad.
Okay.
So we're thrilled to have back in the studio a resident intuitive, Marcy Currier. Yay!
Yeah, welcome, Marcy.
It feels like it's been a longer time than other times that it's been.
Has it been?
I think that
when did we see you last?
You came on in the beginning of the summer, and it's been quite a summer,
That's what it is for everybody, right?
A lot of stuff has happened this summer. I actually am happy.
How did this happen?
Because the summer was just that crazy. A lot of good things happened. A lot of bad things happened. But more importantly, a lot of things happened.
A lot of things happened, right?
Yeah.
And you called it out on the last show. You said it that this summer is gonna you gotta hang up, wear a helmet.
Awesome.
Basically. So.
And it was true. It came true.
I like hearing that. It's funny the number of times that I have to say to someone like, wait, what was your question? What did I say? Because they come up to me.
We have it all here.
I love that. Because I don't know.
Of course. I mean, you talk to so many people, why you wouldn't keep all of it?
No, I would go crazy if I did.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So, well, welcome back.
Yes. We're so happy to have you.
Yeah.
And you have a lot of news for us.
Yeah,
so
big news.
Much.
And we're going to talk a little bit also about the fall.
The fall.
Which
the autumn.
Is upon us.
Yes. So tell us, catch us up.
What's been going on in your life?
How's
your summer?
Nothing much. I met my biological father for the very first time in my whole entire life.
Just walk us through that.
Experience. Yeah. What is that like?
Like, how did this happen? Did you run him on the street?
Okay, so what really happened, if you want to get, right down into it, is I had a relationship that had been kind of like, will this happen, won't this happen, for about a decade. Just completely turned into a shit show.
Okay.
And it was awful. And I was like, you know what? I'm so tired of dealing with my father issues by proxy. Mm-hmm. I need to get straight to, I need to go to the source. And mm-hmm. so last summer, I, Googled, this person that I'd never met and found his information and then just didn't do anything about
it. So you knew his name?
Yeah.
Did you always know his name?
No.
Okay.
So I was raised by someone and, everyone was raised. He knew the truth, but I was raised believing that this man, Dave, was my dad.
Wow.
And...
Wow!
So he was always, as long as you remember, that's your dad.
And then when I was 11 or 12, my mom was like, hey, let's go for a walk. And I was like, she's going to tell me my dad's not my real dad. And then she did.
You're kidding.
Wow. I have a vague memory of my dad that raised me, drunken driving and telling me that... hey, I'm not...
he let slip.
I'm your dad, but I'm not your father. And, I definitely know that he was drunk, and I definitely remember him driving. So,
okay.
And I was probably, 5 or 6. And, when you're that age, there's no... You don't...
And everybody was driving
this
that way.
This is the 80s?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was everybody.
Early to mid-80s.
Yeah, there's songs about it, cruising and boozing, that kind of
thing. Yeah, and I definitely just, is that real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, I was listening to Sammy Hagar was hosting a show, and he played one of his old songs that was Cruising and Boozing. And as soon as the song ended, because he was DJing, he was like, oh, my God. He was like, that's not right at all. He's like, no one should be doing that. He's like, you know what? But that's what was happening at the time, folks. I'm not saying it's a good idea, but and he never thought about it before.
That's really his song.
So everyone used to drink and drug.
It was a thing.
That's why they had to have all the campaigns about
it.
To stop him, to be like, it's not a good idea. People were like, huh? What do you mean? Just had a couple of beers.
Yeah, well, it was part of a whole bigger thing that a lot of people were dying in accidents.
Yeah.
So they did studies to say why exactly. And part of it was seatbelts.
Seatbelts, and people were drunk as hell.
And then car safety.
Yeah.
They were like, oh, they're going right into the steering wheel, right through the windshield.
Let's do something.
Let's make the bags. Yeah,
people used to put a beer between their knees when they were driving.
I remember that. I did it.
Yeah, I'm sure I did it as well.
I did not. I was 5.
Okay. Wife had cops pull me over, and they're like, you're drunk. We're just going to follow you home to make sure you're okay.
Yep. That happened to me, too. And I'm like, I'm not drunk. It's late. I suck.
Yeah. But really, back to your story.
Yes.
Back to my story. So anyway, Yeah, so I knew from the time that I was like 11 or 12. And my parents were divorced by then. And then when I was in my 20s, my dad who had raised me, he died. And so I've been kind of like, it's been out there more. I think once my dad that raised me passed, it was like a little bit more on the table. Like I had no interest in this stranger who didn't want me because I had this other stranger who did want me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just doing the healing work that I do, like I do so much work with people where we look at their, like, the memories that they have from being in the womb and, like, the wounds that they have from just their birth, you know? So it's, and I've known that this was, I mean, obviously it's really impactful, you know?
Yeah.
Because I've always, there was this, like, kind of recovered memory or sense that, like, of being a little baby and being like, this is not my dad. And just, like, having a feeling. I mean, you know the difference between someone who's your family and someone who isn't. There is, like, a...
And they know that, too, and they may be putting energy out there.
Yes.
That's a little bit different.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. And that's kind of, well, what I'm realizing is no one ever did any emotional processing around any of this ever.
They just went with it.
Yeah. We're just going to roll with this. This is the story now.
Yeah. Let's
like,
just go with this.
This is your kid. Okay. We're cool. Don't say anything to me
about
it. But
do other people know?
What, my aunt. And that's it.
Okay.
My mom's one sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
It happens a lot in the community where I'm from where people are like, you know, they say someone is their father, but everybody knows it's not except for the kid. And then it's like this thing when the kid gets to be adult that they're like, what, everybody fucking knew? Like, yeah, we all knew. Look at him.
Yep.
You know?
That was a huge complex for me. I'm eating. Sorry.
That's okay. That's atmospheric. Okay.
It's part of life, and it's something
we all
do.
I will have
a
sip of coffee to and that.
So, yeah, like just... always feeling like I was lied to my whole life and everyone is in on this secret that I'm not in. Like, I've lived with that feeling. And then when I learned about, like, chakras and... So in our energetic field, like, all of, you know, we have our electromagnetic field. We are all connected to our family. Like, you have cords to the people that you're physically related to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Good yeah. Lord.
God.
Yeah.
I like Donnie Darko, though.
Yeah, so learning, like, when I learned that, I was just like, oh, like, that probably matters, you know?
Can
and that
we
was,
cut that cord somehow?
I mean, not really. Like, you have
okay,
you have your genetic heritage, and it is what it is. You can pretend it isn't, but it is. You know, it just, it is what it is. So anyway... Yeah, last summer things, like, just came to a head, and I was like, you know, this is bullshit. I'm going to keep doing this my whole life. I'm going to, like, continue to attract unavailable men who abandon me if I don't figure this out. And, like, just with the way that I operate, I was like, well, the easiest thing seems to, like, at least meet my dad. So I knew his name, because my mom, like, you know, as I got older, she would look at me sometimes and go, like, God, you look like Johnny. Wow, you know?
Yeah.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's my
dad.
That's how that works. So, but then also, I looked him up, and he's a Republican. He lives in the Panhandle.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I was kind of like, oh, we'll table that. Like, I've got it.
We'll come back.
Let's circle back around to
that.
So, kind of out of the blue, like, this year, it was, like, around my birthday. But there was no significant... reason why I called him in the moment that I did and not in any other moment. It was just kind of like, you know what, I'm going to do it. And it was definitely a little bit nerve-wracking, and I called him and he answered and he was like, well, there, let me pull over so I don't have a heart attack. And then, like, was just super excited to hear from me. He's been waiting to hear from me his whole entire life.
Wow.
Or my whole entire life. He found out that I was born when I was 6. And that was another cool thing, meeting him. He thought it intrigue. We'll see who, like, which of my family members I share this podcast with. But he thought my mother had an abortion.
This is not uncommon, apparently.
So
I've heard stories like this before because either the women, they think they're going to have an abortion or they change their minds or they don't want the guy in their lives for whatever reason. They want to burden the guy. They don't want the guy around. So they just say there's no baby.
This is the best story. So my mother had moved. She had been dating the dad that raised me. She had moved to Florida. She had... like, was having what sounds like an amazing fling. Like, they both have such positive memories of each other and of the 4 months that they spent together. Like, they just had fun. They really liked each other. It was great. And you're going to love this. They were on their way to a Tom Jones concert.
Wow. It's not
there
unusual.
We go. It's 1977.
Yeah.
Huh. And she, like, I guess she told him that she was pregnant, and he was just like, oh, no. Like, we're not, like, I'm not, that's not what I'm about right now.
Okay. And I'm not about that life.
Yeah. He had a kid when he was, like, 16.
Oh.
Okay.
So,
so he knew he was not about that.
He was just like, I'm so good on that. I'm good, yeah. Thank you. And but to hear him tell it, like, basically, after that conversation, they went to the concert, but he never heard from her again.
Wow.
Okay. And then when I was six, so 6 years later, my aunt, who was his friend, was like, oh, by the way, picture, you know, here's your daughter.
Wow.
Whoa.
So it was your aunt.
Yeah. Yeah.
That let the cat out of the bag.
And then, okay. But by then, like, he, and he, his thing was, I didn't want to intrude. Like, I, you know, you, like, my parents are married at that, this point. Yeah. Like,
I mean, he made, your mom, by not telling him, made it clear that, you know, she didn't want any assistance or interference. So he's respecting that.
And so he just kind of was like, you know. And so.
What a shock, though.
Wow.
I can't imagine finding out I had a kid.
Yeah. And then, like, it's in another state and it has a different dad.
And it's
like,
six.
And it's 6 years old. Yeah. It's a grown up kid. It's
yeah.
Like a
so
very
now
big
you have
kid.
Two kids instead of just
Which
the
crazy.
One.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And then, so at one point, I got like a letter when I was in college. I got a letter from him, and I called. Like, it just, it was like, you know, I was like 17, 18, and I called, and everything seemed really hazy. Like, I called, and some lady answered, and she said she was his ex-wife. He said she was his wife. he's in the hospital. He tells me that he was in a motorcycle accident. His wife, ex-wife, tells me that he had, like, gallbladder surgery. Huh? And so it was just like, I was like, I'm not getting involved in this mess. Like, there is, I don't need this. This is not
seem
like
you guys
this
figure
is,
your stuff out.
Yeah.
I'll be back.
But
later.
It was great. So meeting him, and this was something, I didn't even remember that really. Like, it was just this moment. But he remembered it because what happened was he did have a motorcycle accident, and then they, the meds they gave him an, what's it called? An ulcer.
Okay.
And so he did have
harsh.
Surgery. Yeah. So like, and then it was his recent ex-wife. So it's like this thing that sounded so sketchy and weird. And I'd always kind of heard that he was a liar. Like, I'd heard a lot of negative things.
Yeah.
About him.
Yeah.
And,
he wasn't around to defend himself
exactly.
or for you to know otherwise.
And
right?
also I think I'm thinking of myself, like when I'm hurt or when I'm feeling like someone has let me down in some way, my take on that person is not usually as flattering as other times when I'm describing people.
True,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, it just, and I don't think it's, like, intentional, but there's definitely, like, a, you know, that person's a jerk, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, I mean, I never heard anything terrible, but it was always this sense of, like, he wasn't trustworthy or he wasn't this or that. So, meeting him also felt like it cleared that up because what he is extremely flamboyant. And you know the people that just tell the story that suits the moment. They're not lying.
What a surprise, everybody. Mars is dead.
It was so nice to meet, because I went, where do I get that from? And here it is. And, like, you're seeing this person, and, like, we look alike, we make the same facial, like,
expressions. They come out. Oh, isn't
he
that
looks
something?
Like men I've dated. Like, his life philosophy sounds like men I've dated. It was crazy. It was crazy,
wow.
crazy. And then he also just genuinely, like, I can feel it loves me. Like, there's the way a parent feels about a kid is there. And I always felt just kind of unlovable, like, just not wanted and unlovable and, like, just not,
oh.
you know.
So he just
you
kind
are
of,
wanted and lovable,
yeah.
Marcy.
But,
so.
But it doesn't matter if you don't feel that way.
He
like, it does,
respected
you can,
your mom to the point where he was like, I'm not going to
yeah. and
intrude
I think,
upon this.
I mean,
that must
I'm
have been
sure,
very difficult, I imagine.
On the other hand, though, I'm sure that it was easier for him.
Yeah,
to,
in a way.
To, like, just live his life as it was and be like,
yeah.
you know what, I don't want to get
But every yeah. once in a while, it's like, you know, you're talking to me like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, he said he thought about it. He's like, I think about you every day. And then it's been really nice. Like, what I've been equating it to, which I know is a little weird, is, you know when you have a really good date and you just, like, click?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, there's no reason for you to be clicking, but you do. Like,
okay.
it was kind of like that. Like, there's just this, it felt like I met a soulmate. Like, it was just,
That's
like,
awesome.
This instant, and, like, we're not, we don't have a lot in common. We don't have any sort of relevant life experience. You know, he spent 23 years in the Navy. He's from Alabama.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's where your family is?
That half, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. So basically, and my mom's mom is from Alabama, so I'm basically from Alabama.
You're a Bama
That's
baby.
The shocking part of the entire story.
Right? Yeah. Marcy's an Alabaman.
So you have a whole family out there.
Yeah, so I think we're going to go, maybe we'll do this the update when I come back in the springtime, because we're going to go down for a reunion.
I would love to hear about that.
Marcy Currier.
So we're in the fall now.
Anyway, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so that's what I'm processing right now. Like that was, and if anybody wants to think about this in context with like what was going on astrologically or on the cosmological level, I think mine was pretty dramatic, but a lot of people probably experienced similar internal shifts in this way, because we had last summer 3 eclipses.
Yeah.
And then this summer was the second half of those eclipses. So we had a similar eclipse season, and they're connected to the eclipses from last year.
Oh, really? From 2017?
Yeah.
Can you explain a lot going on?
So processes that started having to do with personal transformation might have started last summer.
Okay.
And then carried through to the summer of 2018, this summer.
Wow.
And we're kind of like, things are kind of smoothing out. We got, finally Mars is going direct, finally Saturn is going direct, like... We're heading into like a Mercury is going direct.
It is direct as of today, right?
What does direct mean?
Direct means that when we look at it from the Earth, it looks like it's going forward.
Okay. As opposed to the retrograde that we've been complaining about for the past couple of years.
Yeah, it looks like it's going backwards. And people have a misunderstanding and potentially like a patriarchal misunderstanding. Because
of the retrograde?
Mm-hmm,
because everyone has been complaining about it. And that's their excuse for things.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was a Mercury bitch. Mercury is retrograde. For everybody here, can you explain just a little bit about... Break it down.
What an eclipse means for people, what retrogrades mean.
Sure.
And then what Mercury retrograde means, I think, because that's the most,
in
the lexicon.
So one of my favorite ways to help people understand this is not by, like, this is this and that is that. Like, I don't think that's as helpful. But if you think about, okay, what is an eclipse? What's happening in an eclipse? So an eclipse involves the moon and the sun. So, okay, what's the moon? The moon is our connection to our intuition, our connection to our yin, feminine nature, our connection to our emotional self. Mm-hmm. So, okay, we got that entity is involved. And then what's the sun, you guys? What's the sun?
Everything.
There we go.
Yeah.
It's our ever-present, like, who we always are, the best, most...
it's our star. And we're all made of stardust. That's what I learned over the summer. We're all made of stardust.
We are.
It's kind of an interesting way to think about it.
Yeah. So the sun is like, you know, if we think of it's the core part of like who we are and what's going on, and it's responsible for everything, you know, all of that. But the sun and the moon work in tandem. And so we have a sun and a moon. And we give a lot of attention to the sun, like the sun parts of ourselves. It's the... Mm-hmm. outward expression, it's the thing that people can relate to, it's all of, you know, everything that we emit, where the moon is our internal reflection and, you know, everything that we're receiving or experiencing. So that's one thing just to think about, that you don't need to learn what it means, you just need to pay attention to what it is, and then what it means makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in an eclipse, what's happening? The moon is going in front of the sun sometimes, or sometimes the earth is between the sun and the moon, but there's an overlap. Things that normally don't crisscross do. So there's an illumination of everything that's hidden sometimes. There's a suddenly where if the moon's in front of the sun, it's like suddenly the moon is more important. Suddenly the moon is center stage and it's blocking out the light of the sun even, you know? So those are just things to think about. But usually it connects to just times of great change or transition. It's an opportunity for something to really, like a curveball could come in. It's an opportunity for something to really change course or change direction because we're looking at it in a new light.
I like it because it's something that everyone can see.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always interesting to think that we're looking at it and everyone else is looking at it too.
Yeah.
And throughout history... When there are major, you know, solar eclipses and things like that, every culture has recorded it. Yeah, Everyone is like, I saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter if it's 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago. Everyone's like, okay, this is a thing that we saw, we all agree it happened. I think that's kind of an interesting idea, right? It's some commonality.
They got the four R's! And at the same time this summer, we went through a big retrograde season.
We did. There are seven planets. Only eight planets can be retrograde, and seven of them were retrograde all at once.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. I guess I was so wrapped up in my own summer business.
Well, that's what everybody was wrapped up in their own summer business. I think it was.
That's what happened.
But here's the thing. It's like a retrograde invites you to be wrapped up in your own business. Retrograde is all about going inward, like paying attention to yourself.
We did it.
Yeah.
And it kind of thwarts forward movement. It's not about backward movement. It's not about stopping things, but it's just doing it in a different way. Mm-hmm. So when we think of Mercury retrograde, it's an invitation to pause. And to wait, and to not just be carrying on business as usual. And we need those moments.
To switch it up. That's a positive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Right?
And people just misunderstand it.
Right, right. So it was a big transformational summer for a lot of people in a lot of ways. Like, you had your thing going on. Marcy, you had your thing happening. I had mine.
Stuff going on, yeah. Everyone I know is... and for the positive, it seems like, which is unusual, both for me and the people I deal with. It seems like, you know what I mean? Like, not to be... you know, morose about it, but it's like, it's been a good summer, and it's good to see it's been a good summer for a lot of my friends.
Yeah.
As well. And that's a rare thing.
Yeah.
Where the majority of the people who are close to me are like pretty much killing it right now.
It's so nice when that happens. Yeah.
I'm like, how long is this going to go on? Because it can't go on forever. So how does this, what we're talking about, how does it tie into the fall?
Yeah. What's coming up?
Well, you know, fall is always about harvest time. It's always about, it's that shift. We know we're transitioning from the bright, warm, sun, summertime to, you know, internal movement, winter. We're talking about transitioning from the yang to the yin. And fall is a nice place to do that, where we can reflect. We get ready for the winter. All of us, you know, it's cuffing season. Like, people are, when we're not there yet as we're talking, but it's, you can feel it, actually. There was a day, you know... when you have the first, like, weather day where you're like, ooh, that's right, fall's a thing.
It happened, and then we had, like, the heat wave. But I remember, because it's that day in New York City where every New Yorker decides it's fall, and you put on jeans, and someone wears a blazer. Doesn't matter how warm it is. Or, like, it's fall. We've got fall wardrobe. Yeah, I switched everything over. I have to deal with it, you know. So, yeah, I feel like we've had that moment, even though the heat came back. But still, it's like, okay. Things are starting to change.
There was that reminder when, like, I think mine was I just woke up and it was, like, chilly in the morning. Like, just too chilly. Cool, but, like, ooh.
A blanket.
Like, a chill that's not going to go away anytime soon. Like, it's like, I'm settling in.
I like the fall.
I do, too.
Me, too.
I'm always excited for it.
It's nice, because it's just a nice break. It's that nice, I like fall and spring, like, those transition seasons. They're just, there's something about remembering, like, oh, yeah, things change. Like, it seems impossibly hot in the summer. And I used to actually be, like, so disconnected or so dissociated that I couldn't remember what it felt like to be cold. Or I couldn't remember what it felt like to be warm. Like, I had this really strong Persephone thing going where I could only kind of be in one season at a time. And it's different. It's better now. But fall is a really nice time to remember, like, that there's both, you know?
I like the winter also because only the hardy people go out.
Yeah.
And there's less people, like,
it keeps the weak off the streets.
Yeah.
I feel like that is a New Yorker attitude. Yes. I never heard anybody talk like that or think that.
It's true because in places where it's much, much colder, like the Midwest and in Canada, you don't hear that. In New York, we're like, yeah.
Yeah, because people will stay home because of the cold. Then you can get around and do things.
But it's fun, too.
And it's like a playground out there.
Sometimes in the wintertime, especially in February, I like to go out. Like, I'm like, screw it. I don't go out to a lot of bars, but I'm going to a bar. We'll see who's there.
Yeah.
It's the people like me who are like, you know, who like a bar that's like 20% full.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's that feeling of it.
So what's going to have, what do the tarot cards have
to say? Yeah, what do the cards have to say?
If you want to give us an overall, like, what were the questions for the tarot for the fall?
Let's just pull one card for the fall. This is not a new deck, but it's a deck I don't think I brought
it's
here.
New to me.
I love how Jaquetta's always so interested in your decks. Like, what deck are you using? What's happening?
So this is called Revelations Tarot. It was created by someone named Zach Wong, I think.
Okay.
I don't know. Just, you know, we're not friends or anything yet. But
yeah,
it's a really cool deck. What I love about it is each card has almost two images. If you turn it this way, you get one image. And if you get a reverse card, you get another image.
That's cool.
See that?
Oh, that is
neat. Oh, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's a really great deck. It's, I like it for maybe the advanced beginner.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot going on. You definitely should have some sort of, like, utility with the, mm-hmm. with a deck. But if you really want to enhance your understanding of reversals, if you really want to kind of go to a new level, it's awesome.
It's very beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah, I love it.
Okay. So this is, you're pulling one card for...
One card for just for fall, but I was thinking we maybe should do like a past, present, future.
Okay.
After that. But
do
I
you
think
have enough space here?
I do.
Okay.
I do.
I love the Foley sound of the cards when I'm doing the editing.
When I'm on the radio, same thing.
It's nice.
So the card that comes up for the fall is the Eight of Pentacles reverse, which is like, we have to be careful not to get too... like rolled into the nitty-gritty, like too dialed in, but we also want to make sure that we are like dotting our I's and crossing our T's and keeping things in check, but not so overwhelmed with details that we're being unproductive, you know? Okay. So it's all about productivity, and when it's reversed like this, when the Eight of Pentacles especially is reversed, I always see this thing that reminds us of like what is useless busy work that may be a result of our perfectionism or a procrastination technique. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then what, so basically it's like, what is actual productivity? What does that actually look like?
Mm-hmm.
And get clear on it. And kind of get rid of anything that isn't systematized or organized. Organized.
I like that. Organized.
Organized.
Yeah.
So you want to be organized. You want to be, have some routines, have some structure. But again, are you getting, like, caught up in the details, and is that getting in your way? Pay attention to that.
Does this also speak to output, or you're mostly talking about process?
Output as well. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, what are you doing? Are you making something? What's happening?
Okay.
And so, I think this is perfect for fall. It makes me think of a squirrel and getting their nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you want to make sure you got them.
Mm-hmm.
You need them. Like, get that together. But also, like, don't get so many that you don't know what to do with them.
Totally squirrel style.
Yeah.
Totally. Don't know where they are.
Yeah.
They're all in the cheeks.
They're running left and right.
Yeah. So we want to, like, be organized. And productive. Like, it has to make sense. It's not... It's kind of like, you know, those people that are like, and then this is us, and we do it like that. And it's like, this is stupid.
Yeah, just do it. Just
you know what
it
makes me think of? You know, in Office Space...
the
TPS reports, like,
yes.
TPS reports are Eight of Pentacles reversed.
Okay.
Any sort of bureaucratic nonsense is Eight of Pentacles reversed. That or just the person who's so disorganized that nothing's happening. That's the other side of the Eight of Pentacles reversed. So let's say with regard to this, what do we need to keep in mind moving from kind of summer to now to fall?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, summer to now to fall. Okay, perfect. So in the summer, we kind of all got used to, the card that comes up is the Magician reversed. And we all got used to either being hyper-controlling or just being like, fuck it, it's a waste of time, I'm not even going to try right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, if with everything that we've just talked about, with the kind of summer that we've had, it's been sort of like that, where it's either I got to dial it down into like the most minute, let me just get a handle on all of this, or just, and again, it's personality type.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are we the kind of person that just goes like, hands off the wheel, hands off the gas, I'm just going to see where I roll?
Yeah.
Or is it like just everything is hyper-focused? And so we got used to that. Then we have the Fool reverse for right now, which is sort of like, we're forgetting about like the process of creation. We're forgetting about how to make things happen and how that actually occurs. You know, it's like, it's one thing to be like, oh, I have a dream, or, you know, I have a desire, there's something I want to do, and a very different thing to be like, okay, let's rent the space, let's get the recording equipment, let's do this. You know, there's a very big difference between those two things. And so the Fool reversed as the kind of what's going on for all of us in the present moment speaks to that. Again, we see this cool duality where on one hand, we may be like unused to taking risks or trying to make things happen right now. On the other hand, we may be so sick of things being jammed up that now there's a energetic space available, we might be being rash.
Okay.
Right? So we're just going balls out too much. So the future, when we look at the fall, the card that comes up is the Empress, which is actually a perfect card to connect with or represent autumn. The Empress is the mother of the tarot deck. So she has to do with, one, just the process of creation in general. So all of these cards have to do with the process of creation. Everything that we've seen in some way relates to productivity, creativity, making things happen. But the Empress is that reminder that our best creativity happens when we allow, when we let it, you know. So if you think of a mother gestating a baby, it's like she's not making the baby. She is, like, the baby is being made, but it's in that it's in that passive way. She's not, doing anything, making the baby.
Daily.
Yeah. Like, just
I'm gonna make a foot today.
Like, building it. Yeah. Gross.
Whatever. On the they list. Have feet.
So let's say some advice for this is we need to take action step by step. The card that comes up is the Page of Pentacles, which is all about, like, going back to that Eight of Pentacles, taking one foot, putting it in front of the other, figuring out what needs to be done. And the Pentacles always are about concrete, measurable action. So there's something that has occurred that people know about because it's visible or palpable in some way. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's like this time it's there's a lot of opportunity to get things done. There's a lot of opportunity. And also I think with Saturn going direct, it makes sense where it's like this pressure that's been on us is lifted a little bit. And so there's
Saturn is the taskmaster.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. Yeah. Saturn is the teacher through opposition, or the teacher through difficult challenges.
And you said that's going direct now?
Yeah. So it's been retrograde and now it's moving forward.
Okay.
And so there's this kind of like slingshot effect almost, where we've been really like this pressure is like holding us back and now it's released. But we need to channel it so that we're not just flying around like maniacs.
I love your metaphors.
Yeah, so I think for us, I feel like this applies specifically to each one of us. I can see where each one of us can really benefit from this reading right now. And then I would say to the listeners, the same thing. What are you trying to make? What are your dreams? And then what are the concrete goals to take toward achieving those dreams?
Okay.
It's not about being a visionary right now.
It's not about very nice. Dreaming about this, about some fantasy.
You
don't
have to Elon Musk your way through it.
I mean, you know, there's a time and a place for that, and we always need it to kind of keep us on track. If you don't have your vision, you don't know what you're building. Yeah,
but make the sedan already.
But, like, yeah, we gotta make it happen. What if we do one card for advice for each one of us with regard to this
process? I have a question about these cards. They're so beautiful. What are the numbers? And this is a letter, maybe?
So, tarot cards, 78 cards, 56 called the Minor Arcana, structured like a playing card deck, ace through 10, and then in the tarot, there are four court cards instead of three.
Oh, okay.
So, in the tarot, it's ace through 10, page, knight, queen, king.
Okay.
And then the Major Arcana, 22 cards, tells a story, numbered 0 through 21.
Okay, so that's what the numbers are for.
Yeah, that's what you're seeing. So the Fool is number 0, the Magician's number 1, the Empress is number 3, we have the Eight of Pentacles, and then the Page of Pentacles.
Oh, very cool. Thank you.
Cool. Okay.
All right.
So for each one of us.
So let's see.
And we're using this in the reading as well for the single cards that are coming
in? Yeah, just kind of how, for our own selves, when we're thinking about productivity, creativity, time wastage, you know, so like I know for me what I'm talking, let's, if you're willing, I know that what we're talking about for me is my tarot card deck. I've been working on a tarot card deck for like a fucking decade.
That's true.
And I'm not, so when my Eight of Pentacles reversed is that I'm not working on it as regularly as I should.
Is this the deck that at some point water dripped onto it?
Yes. One that she got, that got moldy.
But what's going on?
So I'm working on it. It's the Mystical Frog Tarot. I've been working on it.
Yes, the Frog Tarot. I feel like we've been talking about it since we met
I've been working on it since way before I even knew you guys existed. Wow. I've been working on it for a long time. I've been working on it since before I started working at Omega.
It's going to be amazing.
It's really good. I'm really proud of it. But so my Eight of Pentacles reverse is I'm not working on it very much. And my Magician reverse for this past summer is that I've been doing a lot of other stuff. Like my life has been consumed legitimately with many other things.
Right.
But I've also kind of potentially forgotten that I should be working on this thing.
Mystical Frog Tarot.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've all had other things take front and center over the summer. So what is it now that we need to be doing
for
ourselves?
On?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So that makes sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so one card for you, Jaquetta.
I'm closing my eye. One eye.
Okay. That's helpful. One eye.
Yeah. Just one.
Oh, there we go. That's what I needed. Okay, what did you guys get?
I got...
So you have the Knight of Cups, Katie, and you have the Five of Swords, Jaquetta. Okay, so I would love to know more about your each respective situations, but what we can say quickly is, Katie, yours is about investing and, like, doubling down on what you love. And, like, there are things that you're not doing that you should do because it would make you happy.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
And yours, Jaquetta, is about setting stronger limits.
Oh, Lord.
Just setting boundaries. I feel like you're going to love this. This means you can tell someone to get the fuck out of your face and leave you alone. You got shit
I'm down
to
with that. I'm down with that.
Yeah.
It also implies work.
Yeah. Well, it's a little bit, it does mean prioritizing and then sticking to your priorities and not just deciding like, oh, I'm good. Like, it's fine. It's not fine. It's what needs to happen is what needs to happen. And then I pulled the star, which is that the universe is on my side, and it's going to help me get my tarot deck.
Oh, that's awesome. You
got I'm excited for Mystical Frog Tarot.
Yeah. Me too. I'm really excited about the latest. I work on it. I work on it pretty regularly. It's just if I could sit down for a month and just get it done. If anybody wants to sponsor me, I have a GoFundMe for this.
Yeah. Oh, for the tarot deck.
Yeah. If someone, because there was a while where I was like, you know, if I could just get like 2 months off, I did a $5,000 GoFundMe and was just like,
you know, retreat for yourself.
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think I raised about $500, which was nice, but didn't really grant me the any time off. But yeah, that's still up. It's on my website.
What did we get?
Oh, all kinds of stuff.
Okay.
I can find it, but
I didn't know
you get
this.
Readings,
we'll
you get
it.
We'll post a link to it.
I had no idea.
It'll have all kinds of rewards on there.
Yeah.
We'll have it. Okay.
You get stickers.
I didn't know you were doing a GoFundMe for it.
Yeah, you get stickers. Okay. I'm not very good at promoting things sometimes. But yeah, you get stickers, you get prints, you get cards.
Because I want to see this thing.
Yeah, me too. I want to get it done.
Yeah.
Every time I look at it, it's like, oh, there's way more done than I feel like. But it's tough because it won't be done till it's done, and I have a harder time. Like, it's not a linear process, so it's not like I'm 82% done now. Like, it doesn't work like that. But it's coming along, and I recently... maybe I'll send you a picture that you can put up. But
yeah, please do.
The thing I'm most working on right now is the Six of Wands, and I love it.
Okay.
I'm really excited about it.
Cool. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, how does that...
So, this makes total sense for me. So, did you need any information?
Well, I think that you guys would benefit from, like, what are we talking about?
So, before you told me what this card meant, I was thinking about... are there some transitions, clear transitions? Not even transitions. Are there some things I just need to stop?
Yeah.
So I can start other things. So is it a transitional process or is it just going to be a hard stop?
It's a hard stop. It's a really aggressive sorting, you know? Like, and what I like is that this feels like it gives you permission to do that. Like, you know, you don't have to second guess yourself and be like, oh, but shouldn't I be doing this? And no, if you don't want to, don't. And if you do, do. Like, it's that.
I'm down with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it feels like it really fits you.
Yeah.
Where you don't have to put up with any bullshit.
Yeah, and I like the art, too. The art is definitely, like,
isn't that cool?
Yeah. I love that these are you can look at them both ways.
Yeah. This deck is really amazing.
Beautiful.
And, you know, I don't hear people talk about it a lot, and I don't know why. But I just think it's incredible.
All right, let's see yours.
So Knight of Cups. So with me, I was kind of thinking in terms of all the stuff that I've been doing this summer. Like, how do you? Like, it's kind of over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but there's still like a lot of things like loose ends to tie up in a way.
And so the Knight of Cups is just about like what makes you feel good, what makes you feel happy, what makes you like want to.
Get out of bed every day.
Yeah, just like, it's really just that. And, like, the Knight of Cups is about offering the love and the, like, good cheer that you have to the world. And it's, like, anything that makes you do that. Like, you know those days where you, like, you get out of bed, you go outside, and you're like, oh, hey, to the person. Mm-hmm. And then, like, oh, you're chit-chatting. Oh, baby, you dropped your rattle. You know, mm-hmm. you know those
like
days.
Like a burn of lights on your finger.
Yeah, yeah. Those days where it just feels really good, and it's easy. Sing. You're holding the door for people.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's that kind of thing. So it's like, whatever makes you feel that way, whatever.
Then go and do that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and it's like, so this would be devoting yourself to a passion project. This would be making amends with someone that you maybe, like, over the summer lost touch with or fell out with, you know, anything like that. And it's a reminder that, like, nothing matters except you feeling good about who you are, and that a lot of that comes from how you, where in your body you're operating from. You know, if you're operating from your heart, that feels good.
Okay. Hmm. Interesting.
I like that.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. So let's do one card for our listeners.
All right, okay. Listeners, this is for you in the fall.
And we get the Eight of Cups. Let go of that bullshit.
You heard that, people?
The Eight of Cups is like, look, we're all holding on to things. We're all engaging on emotional levels that we just have no business dealing with anymore. And this says, be real about it. Like, get honest with yourself. Are you wasting time talking to someone you shouldn't be talking to, staying in a job that you hate, investing energy into something that you know you don't want to be dealing with? Mm-hmm. For longer, just use this time to let that go. It's the perfect season for that. Think about it. It's harvest time. And so it's kind of shit or get off the pot time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's let that shit go time. It's get over it and move on time.
That's cool. That's good for the fall.
Yeah.
Because if you think about, like, summer to winter is this, there's this contraction that happens, right? So It's like, in a certain way, it's harder to hold on to things. Like, summer, there's enough space for everything, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it feels like.
Right? It's just like, if you think of a garden or if you think of a yard, it's like, there's this flower and this mm-hmm. plant and this shrub and this thing. And in the winter, you have the one tree that's half dead.
Yeah. The time feels different, too, in mm-hmm. the summertime. What you're saying, like, it feels like in the summer, it's like, okay, we can do a road trip, but then we can also do this, and we can plan this, and we can get together. It seems like there's endless time.
Yeah.
And then it does kind of contract.
Yeah, so in that contraction, this is a great time to let things go. And so to support that, if you want to do some activities, clearing out your clutter, getting rid of, like mementos that don't actually make you feel good. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a great time to be like, I'm just going to throw all these
letters away. It's amazing that we save things that make us feel bad.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, sometimes I look through my things and I'm like, why did I keep this piece of paper, this article, this, just, like, tchotchke that doesn't make me feel good?
Yeah.
Yes. I have to say, there's the book, the Marie Kondo book,
The Life-Changing Magic of
Tidying up.
Tidying up. I love that
Excellent.
Book.
Yeah.
I haven't read it. I keep hearing
this
about it.
It's a great book for this. I mean, for the Eight of Cups and for this.
But she's now selling boxes to put things in.
That's hilarious.
That's really funny.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yes. I love that.
Well, there, yes.
Like, there's something, there's this kind of, like, what's the word? It's not schadenfreude, but there's a part of me that loves that kind of corruption, I guess, or you know what I mean, like, where it's just kind of like,
it's
there,
like,
you go,
you sold yourself.
It's the
on
payoff.
This one.
Yeah. Like, when you're watching a comedy and someone does something, and you're like, oh, okay,
there we
go. It's like that. I'm like, yeah. So you've told people to throw out everything, but now you're like, but these boxes.
There's something I just love about, like, ridiculous. There was this. Did you guys? We talked about this last time. Mm-hmm. There was this mailman that kept, like, 9,000 pieces of mail.
He said, weren't his.
Yeah, because he was like, it's just too much.
I think Greg and I were talking about that. Yeah.
Like, I just love things like that. I love when people do just the wrong thing.
Yes.
Because they feel like
it. He had his reasons.
Did you hear about the high school principal or superintendent that was pooping on the track field?
Yeah, I heard about this, but I don't know why. Was there a reason why?
I don't know
why
either. Because he felt like it.
He was probably like, F this.
He probably had to poop. I don't know. I mean, I've never pooped on
it.
But
he did it repeatedly many times.
It was like it was like every morning.
I think he's taking a stand against something. Who knows?
We gotta research that.
Yeah.
But anyway, I love things like that. I love that sort of just the arc.
But yeah,
you know, where it's just kind of like
the story arc is nice.
Like, mm-hmm. there you go. And I think it's also because we all have a shadow. We all have, like, we have what we consciously espouse and what we really purport to be, and then we have this other shittier side that most people try to pretend isn't there.
I call
and
that the wait till I get in charge. You know what I mean? It's like, when I'm in charge, of compulsory opera studies for everyone.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
like another kind of dictator.
I call it my inner Maleficent, that she comes out.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
And makes people do things.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, just that evil side, from
I
good
think,
fairy to
what
bad
is mine
fairy.
Like? Mine is just sort of like I love when things are terrible. I think it's funny.
I do. That's why I go to musicals.
Yeah, it's
because great. They can be terrible in a good way.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah.
It's like, look at all this work that people put into this. Mm-hmm, is awful, mm-hmm. but they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
They're smiling. Doing it. We're here, so who's the asshole?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's
like,
exactly
I'm paid to be here. Yeah. It's like, whatever.
Oh, but yeah. no matter how this Marie Kondo turned in her yeah. ways, that book is excellent.
Oh, I've heard the book is amazing.
The book is amazing.
It really is. I was cleaning up my mother's house, but using that method, and it was a time saver, mm-hmm. and everything went quick. I knew exactly what I was doing. I didn't get overwhelmed.
And it feels really good. Yeah. And honestly, I've been needing some boxes. There's nothing wrong with boxes.
There you go. I have plenty of boxes. I'm one of those people that has boxes and ton of boxes, and then there's nothing in them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think like, these are also yeah. boxes maybe for the drawers.
Oh, even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In any case, they're very expensive.
Where can I get them?
Probably her website. But they're not the kind of box that you would get, like, container store. Yeah. No.
They're fancy
These
boxes.
Are special Japanese boxes.
That spark joy.
I cannot yeah. tell you how much I love that.
That
I spark just,
joy.
There's something about that, just tomfoolery. Mm-hmm. That,
well, she told you to throw out everything. Now you need stuff.
And now you got to go buy this box.
Yeah.
Right? I love it. I love it.
So it's a good time. It sounds like the fall is going to be a good time for everyone to just clear things out.
It is always a good time to clear things out and get ready. And according to these cards, this particular fall is an especially good time to do that. And it's also like, get rid of that loser that doesn't make you feel good.
Yes.
You know, like, just anything that you're emotional, because the Eight of Cups is particularly about emotions, but it's like anything that you're emotionally investing in, let it go. Something else that's kind of interesting as we're looking at these cards is we have the Eight of Pentacles, the Eight of Cups, and the Star, which is number 17, which in numerology reduces to 8.
There's an infinity thing there. Does that count as well?
No, it's just... All right. I mean, I guess... Yes,
what
let's
that?
Say it does.
Yeah, yeah.
And the multiple eights, what does that mean?
So 8 is the number of... The key word for 8 is revolution. And so think of what revolutions mean. One, it's... Like the turning of something.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So it's dramatic change. It's also like, think of revolution as opposed it, in the context of like the Revolutionary War. Like
we're revolution.
Staging,
yeah,
the revolution. So I always, when I'm teaching numerology, I always talk about the 8 as the Behind the Music special. Because it's that kind of like, if you think of the shape of an 8, it's that infinity symbol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the Behind the Music special is like, oh, you know, we had some talent, we formed a band, we were playing garages, you know, we were like just doing small shows, then we got big shows, then we were wrecking hotel rooms, and then we were drinking all the time, and, you know, having sex with 10 women at a time, mm-hmm. and... then, you know, so-and-so got too drunk, and then this one got his arm cut off, and this one had to go to rehab, and then we broke up, and now we're back together, and we're doing a reunion tour. Like, that's 8. 8 is the, like, the entity or the energy that encompasses all those possibilities. And the thing is, like, once you start hearing the beginning of that story, in a certain way, you already know the end of that story.
Yeah.
Like, the whole, you know that feeling when you're just like, I know where this is going.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you see
like
people...
I've seen that movie.
Yeah.
It's like you see Britney Spears back when she did Baby Baby, and you're like...
Yeah, we know where this is going to end up.
She'll shave her head in a few years.
Yeah.
And then she's doing... And then they do great again. So the 8 is where it's kind of like coming around through something and then ending back in the same place. You know, it's a little bit... But we're never back in the same place because time doesn't mm-hmm. work like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always linear, and we come back to where we were... anew, like in a new way. So that's kind of a neat thing to think about. And it is showing up strongly. Even if we add things, it's like we have a 5 and a 3. Like, we've got a lot of 8s going on this table right now.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So, I want to thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
I hope this has been awesome.
Useful.
This reading,
fun.
This is like one of the most positive readings we've had in the studio.
I would agree.
Usually, when cards are pulled... We, like, tuck our little high-key tails between our legs and our legs, you know, looking at
Because I feel like, we're usually having to, like, pull cards on
people.
Yeah, but today, feel like
we've received cards.
Oh.
I will say.
Yeah.
You have.
We have received
cards. Yes, this is wonderful.
Yeah,
thank you so much, Marcy.
So if people are looking to find you, where can they do so?
www.metamarcy.com. Oh, if you have cable, you can see me do a reading for Judah Friedlander.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Did it?
This is... Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us.
So, it was an interesting experience.
False ending, people. We're still going.
Right, sorry.
Going again.
It was an interesting experience. I will leave
Did he wear the hat?
He did, of course.
Okay.
I will leave the audience to assess for themselves the quality of the show.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm going to be on additional segments because I did like five readings or four readings and they only aired the one with Judah.
Okay.
But it's on like, maybe we'll post it in the notes or something, but it's like season two, episode something.
Of
Late Night Snack with Rachel Dratch.
Okay.
Or
okay.
Rachel Dratch's Late Night Snack. It's on True TV.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
You can see it. True TV, yeah. You can see it on like if you have whatever that cable thing is where you can like click on shows and watch
them. Yeah, yeah.
You might also be, if you just go to their website, they might have a clip or something like that there.
Yeah, so that was neat. So you can see that. Also, you can listen once a month. I'm on The Wolf, 94.3, 97.3, Hudson Valley's Country. So HudsonValleyCountry.com. Yeah, me too. HudsonValleyCountry.com. You can check me out there. MetaMarcy.com is my website. I don't know if I said that. And then for people that are in New York City, I'm coming back to New York. I'm getting my office back down here.
Nice.
I will be teaching classes, and I'll be doing readings down here this winter.
That's awesome. No kidding. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll be down here a lot more.
So. Awesome.
Well, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. Also, at one point you said balls out, which
I did say balls out.
Yeah, I
don't think
balls out all the
that's
time.
Appropriate.
I think it's appropriate.
In this day and age, is it okay balls to say out? Balls out?
And I always thought it meant like
it's the context.
Kind of just putting it all out there, like
just
going naked.
Out. Yeah,
putting your balls out. Showing your vulnerable side. Too.
Yeah, but also just being like, this is what's going on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something very bold about being balls out, right?
Yeah.
If you're just like, you know, I don't even care. My balls are
out. We can say tits out, same
tits
thing.
Tits out. Yeah.
Oh, full tits out.
Yeah.
Fine.
Tits out, too.
Yeah.
What if you have your tits and your balls out?
Fine. Then it's
all of it.
All out.
Everybody can do
everybody
all of it.
Out.
It's a full out situation.
Yeah, I think we call that a sun. Is everything.
Everything is, yeah.